Welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Monday, June 10th, 2024. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. And boy, do we have a lot of news for you today. I'm not even sure how exactly I'm going to manage to cover all of it, but we'll give it a shot. So let's start with some news that broke Friday, late Friday, from the Ninth Circuit Court. An appeal in the Ninth Circuit, where the court rendered a decision that says that COVID-19 vaccines cannot be mandated because they do not meet the definition of vaccines. So this is Judge R. Nelson, who ruled in favor of plaintiffs that were suing the Los Angeles School District over these vaccine mandates. Now, in order to understand this decision, and by the way, over the weekend, a lot of people had bad information about this, and they said that the court ruled that COVID-19 vaccines are not vaccines. That's a subtle question. That's not actually what they ruled. So it's important that we understand this. And in order to do that, we have to go back and understand the case from 1905, where the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the state of Massachusetts, in a very famous case called Jacobson versus Massachusetts. And that case has also been completely misinterpreted and misquoted by the media for over 100 years, by the way. So that case upheld the right of the state of Massachusetts to levy a $5 fine against an individual who refused to take, at that time, the smallpox vaccine. He sued. He said, "This violates my rights to force me to take this vaccine and to fine me for not doing so." And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled that the state may fine you if you do not take a mandatory vaccine. However, the Supreme Court did not rule that the state may force a person to accept a vaccine, although that is what has been reported for over 100 years. And that's also what's even reported by a lot of alternative media today. And that's how courts have interpreted it. They've cited Jacobson, and they've said, well, see, in Jacobson, it ruled that the court can force you to take a vaccine, even though that's not what happened. But fast forward to 2024 and this case right now before the Ninth Circuit and Judge R. Nelson, what he ruled is that the definition of a vaccine, which is covered by the Jacobson ruling, requires a vaccine to prevent transmission of the disease it is supposed to target. Now, that's the classical understanding of what a vaccine is in the minds of most people and most doctors. Not the CDC, by the way. They changed the definition of a vaccine a couple of years ago during the COVID pandemic. They changed it so that a vaccine now covers anything that reduces symptoms of infection. So according to the CDC, ivermectin is a vaccine. Isn't that interesting? So if you take ivermectin to treat COVID, then you can, according to the CDC, you can say you've been vaccinated, by the way. That's just a side note. But the CDC changed that definition. The old definition was that a vaccine was something that interfered with the transmission or getting infected by a pathogen. So with that understanding that has been traditionally applied to Jacobson versus Massachusetts, the court today, the Ninth Circuit Court under Judge R. Nelson, said that since this COVID-19 vaccine does not prevent the spread of COVID-19, and there's all kinds of evidence now admitted by the CDC and Fauci and a bunch of others, and that was presented at the court, but because this vaccine does not prevent the spread of COVID-19, therefore, the Jacobson decision does not apply. That was the ruling of this court. The court did not rule that Jacobson is no longer in effect. The court also did not rule that the COVID-19 vaccine is not a vaccine per se. What the court ruled is that because this vaccine doesn't prevent the spread of COVID, therefore Jacobson does not apply, and therefore the plaintiffs are correct in stating that the Los Angeles School District may not force them to take this vaccine, since this vaccine does not stop transmission or infections. Understand? That's what was ruled. The judge actually wrote the following, quote, "At this stage, we must accept plaintiff's allegation that the vaccine does not prevent the spread of COVID-19 as true. And because of this, Jacobson does not apply." So there you go. Now, understand, remember, the CDC altered the definition of a vaccine back in 2021. It used to be a product that produces immunity. In other words, a product that prevents transmission and infection. Now, it's changed to something that, quote, "stimulates the body's immune response," which in practical terms means reduces symptoms of the infection. So according to the CDC, vitamin C is a vaccine. Vitamin D is a vaccine. So I just want you to be clear. If someone like an employer asks you, have you been vaccinated against COVID-19? If you have ever taken vitamin C or vitamin D or zinc or quercetin, you can honestly answer, according to the CDC's definition of a vaccine, yes, I have been vaccinated. That's an honest answer, because that's what the CDC now claims a vaccine is. Anyway, Judge Nelson went on to explain that the following: traditional vaccines, plaintiffs claim, should prevent transmission or provide immunity to those who get them, but the COVID-19 vaccine does neither. So here we have a Ninth Circuit Court decision saying that COVID-19 vaccines cannot be mandated as a condition of employment. Now, what's really interesting about this is, number one, it will probably go to the Supreme Court. Of course, it'll be appealed. But should this decision stand, it means that every person who lost their job, and who isn't already dead from the vaccine, of course, because dead people don't sue, which is part of the strategy of the vaccine industry to kill their patients and thereby protect themselves from the liability of lawsuits. But for those who did not die and lost their jobs, they may now sue, and they may cite this Ninth Circuit decision. And there was a lot of discussion over the weekend about class action lawsuits against, you know, hospital systems, you know, healthcare corporate giants, against governments, because every government office, every agency, every government entity in the country demanded mandatory vaccines. Airlines demanded them to fly. Schools demanded them. Universities, some still demand them, by the way. I agree that every person who was told that they had to take these vaccines as a condition of their employment or travel or receiving an education or what have you, they should sue. There should be a nationwide class action lawsuit, which potentially could involve, well, what percentage of the population has been vaccinated in America? Is it like 60%, 70%? I don't know. But let's just say it's 200 million plus people. Okay, that's a pretty safe guess. Or 250 million. So 250 million Americans should sue their government, their hospitals, the airlines, the schools, their employers, the CDC, which lied about all this. They should sue the FDA. I mean, this should be the most massive class action lawsuit in the history of America, much bigger than the big tobacco lawsuits back in the 1990s. Those were tiny compared to this. And we're talking about trillions of dollars of damage, and not just the actual economic damages, which are substantial, because people lost their jobs, people lost their livelihoods, doctors lost their licenses. They were defamed in many cases because they were investigated by state medical boards and so on. All those state medical boards should be sued. And every member of a state medical board that enforced a vaccine mandate should also be personally named in these lawsuits, named and sued for trillions of dollars in damages and pain and suffering. And I hope that this decision by the Ninth Circuit results in a wave of class action lawsuits against all these vaccine tyrants, vaccine pushers, vaccine fanatics is what they were during COVID. They were possessed by a kind of fanaticism that where they had to push vaccines on everybody else as a condition of them being allowed to live in society. And it's time. There's enough that has come out. We know that these vaccines do not work. We know they're not even vaccines. They're basically gene wrecking devices. This is a medical intervention that is a genetic alteration that's designed to cause disease and death. These are depopulation bioweapons shots. And it's time, in my opinion, for not just the civil lawsuits to start flying, but for the criminal charges to be brought forth against people like Fauci and others. Every government authority, which would include most governors in America, who push these vaccine mandates as a condition of living a normal life, you know, as a condition of travel, as a condition of running a small business, having it open, as a condition of going to work. Every one of these government so-called leaders should be, in my opinion, criminally indicted by district attorneys all across America. And the federal agencies and the federal people like Fauci, the NIAID, and plus those at the NIH and those at the FDA and CDC should be criminally indicted even by local DAs. So in the same way that in Georgia, they indicted President Trump over some made-up crimes, well, it's time for a Texas DA to indict FDA officials, CDC officials, and Fauci over real crimes against humanity. It's time for DAs in Oklahoma, in Florida, in Arizona, in Missouri, you know, in Indiana, red states all across the country, Idaho, Wyoming, Nevada. I mean, there are red counties all over the country. Most of the country is red. Every county has a DA. Every DA can level criminal charges against these mass murderers like Fauci. You can do it. And that process needs to begin. And probably the list of who needs to be indicted and arrested is thousands of people. It's, if not tens of thousands, who were involved in this scamdemic, which has caused over 1 million Americans to lose their lives. I mean, think about this. Do you realize that the vaccine pushers killed more Americans than the entire Vietnam War? Like 20 times more. The Vietnam War is estimated to have killed roughly 50, 55,000 American soldiers. Yeah, multiply that by 20 and you get roughly a million, a little bit over a million. That's how many Americans are dead because of this vaccine zealotry, which is all rooted in fraud. Criminal fraud, in my opinion. And this decision by the Ninth Circuit may be the beginning of this effort. And plus, with people out there like Ivan Raiklin, who are talking about holding people to account for this, perhaps this process can begin. Who knows? We'll see. But you notice that I'm not calling on, you know, Trump to get into office and then let's let Trump do this. I don't think Trump would do it. This needs to happen locally. Local DAs can charge people with crimes, no matter where they are in the country. And it's time for that process to begin. Because, again, these officials, sometimes they were city council members, sometimes they were governors, sometimes they were health officials. They committed crimes against their fellow Americans. And they killed people. They killed over a million Americans. That number might be over 2 million at this point. And they maimed at least 6 million Americans. We know this from disability records, insurance claims. We know about the increase in deaths. We know about increase in insurance claims due to disability and hospital visits and so on. Ed Dowd has done tremendous research in that area. We've got the numbers. We know now the impact of pushing COVID vaccines, and it was devastating. And the people who were responsible for it need to be held criminally liable through the courts for their actions. If that can't happen, then, well, we can start with civil lawsuits against all of them. Civil lawsuits. You realize, by the way, The Sandy Hook family's lawsuit against Alex Jones was a civil lawsuit that claimed that he was guilty of lying about their children. And the jury, which of course was incredibly left-wing, rigged, they hated Alex, they hated Trump, you know, a Connecticut jury, think about it. They said that Alex is liable for $1.5 billion because he lied, they said, about Sandy Hook. Now, interestingly, Alex even corrected himself a couple months later, and he retracted what he originally said, and then they filed the lawsuit years later. They said, well, he lied originally. Now, think about this. If Alex Jones lied, and let's say he never retracted it, and they say he has to pay $1.5 billion, well, how much should Fauci pay for his lies? Because, you see, Alex Jones' lies didn't kill anybody. Nobody died because Alex lied. And again, he retracted it. And also, by the way, he was just reporting based on the best information at the time. He wasn't deliberately lying. He made a journalism mistake and he corrected it. That's called a retraction. Anybody else does that? Oh, no problem. But when Alex did it, oh, you're going to be sued for $1.5 billion. But how much should Fauci pay for his deliberate lies? He lied deliberately and he continues to lie deliberately. Along with heads of the CDC and the FDA and the NIH and the pharmaceutical companies. They're lying. They're deliberately lying. They falsely claimed it was safe and effective. They knew they were lying because they had the study results that showed it didn't work. They knew the vaccines did not work. So they lied to sell a medical intervention that they knew did not work. That is criminal fraud, folks. That is fraud. And remember that fraud vitiates everything, which means that this shield, liability shield that the drug companies have because they signed agreements with every government to shield them from liability. Do you know that fraud pierces that liability shield? Because they committed fraud, a judge can rule that the liability shield is no longer going to be recognized. Therefore, every one of these drug companies can, in the proper setting, with the proper arguments and an honest judge, they can be sued for all the damage caused by their vaccines. And it is time for the people who have been harmed and maimed, injured, or killed by these vaccines, for their surviving family members, it's time to sue these pharmaceutical companies into oblivion. If Alex Jones has to pay $1.5 billion for an honest mistake that he retracted and was not deliberate, how much should drug companies pay for a nefarious, deliberately engineered, deadly lie that profited them hugely? You know, hundreds of billions of dollars in profits that they earned at the expense of people's lives. How much should they have to pay in return? And I think the answer to that is in the trillions. This is my guess. I think it should be in the trillions. I would make an excellent juror, by the way. If any judge out there would like me to join your court, I would make an excellent juror. I'm saying that in jest. Kind of like Rain Man says, I'm an excellent driver. I'm an excellent driver. Yeah, I would make an excellent juror. Yeah, it's a joke. Of course, I would be dismissed immediately because of what I've already said here. But I'm not the only one who thinks this way. People all across America have lost loved ones because of this vaccine. And there's a reckoning coming. Or maybe you could say a wrecking of the pharmaceutical industry. Now, I've got another major story today to share with you. I'll get to this next, but let me offer some interesting commentary. The medical industrial complex that now defines Western medicine, sometimes it's called Rockefeller medicine. Because at the turn of the 20th century, the Rockefellers took over the medical system and they went to war against chiropractic medicine. They went to war against herbalists, naturopaths, acupuncture practitioners. They went to war with every system of medicine that they could not control. And this was all Rockefeller medicine. They took over all the medical schools. They took over all the associations, which later became things like the American Medical Association and so on. And they decided that they wanted a medical system that was rooted in poison, toxic poisons. And this is why when they founded the American Medical Association, they used the symbol of venomous serpents intertwined around a staff of power, the serpents intertwined in the shape of human DNA with venom. And we have a bombshell story here for you today about how venom is being used in the medical system. It's now used, or venom peptides are used, in FDA-approved weight loss medications that are poisoning people with incredible toxicities. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the Rockefeller medical system decided to use, in many cases, synthetic medical compounds instead of natural substances, because this was the dawn of the thinking that they might one day have to use the medical establishment as a weapon against humanity. They needed a way to destroy humanity and to achieve, ultimately, depopulation. Even though back in the early decades of the 1900s, they weren't yet thinking that they would need to invoke global depopulation, but they definitely wanted monopoly control over the entire medical system so that they could push the medical system in whatever direction that they wanted. Now, it's no coincidence, of course, that the medical system pushed cigarette smoking. I've got ads from the Journal of the American Medical Association. You can see these ads back in the 1930s, for example. And they were full-page ads. The American Medical Association was paid off by Big Tobacco. And the ads said, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. So the AMA and the Journal of the AMA, JAMA, was paid off, bribed by Big Tobacco to push a toxic, cancer-causing product line, i.e. smoking cigarettes, that was also, of course, highly addictive. And this was done in the name of medicine. Again, doctors got paid to push this while the consumers were dying of heart disease and cancer, you know, emphysema and all kinds of respiratory problems and so on. The American Medical Association looked the other way, because at the time, cigarettes were the most effective way to poison people. They didn't have a lot of technology at that time. They didn't have mRNA technology. They didn't have self-replicating vaccines. So they used what they had, cigarettes. They're just trying to kill everybody with cigarettes. You know, trust your doctor, smoke more Camels, okay? So that was the message then. And you can search online, you can find these ads yourself. Just search for them. They're all over the place. We've even published these ads in articles on naturalnews.com, by the way, easy to find. Now then, after World War II, then a new technology was created to help poison people and kill people and also create more profits and more repeat business for the medical establishment rooted in Rockefeller medicine. And that was the creation of pesticides and herbicides. So synthetic neurotoxins that, yes, would kill pests on food crops, but they also cause brain damage, neurological damage, reproductive damage, and cancers and other problems, hormonal disorders, in the humans who would eat the food sprayed with these toxic substances. So these were developed as weapons. The original organophosphates and other pesticides and herbicides were derivative branches of the same kind of research that in World War I gave rise to things like mustard gas. Mustard gas, a chemical weapon, also branched into derivatives that became chemotherapy. So this is why then the Rockefeller medical system seized control of the cancer industry, and they sought to outlaw any natural cancer preventative treatments or remedies or cures or anything that would work to help cancer patients, because they saw cancer as a very effective way to achieve depopulation and to profit as they were killing people with chemical weapons that they simply relabeled chemotherapy. The organophosphates were causing, in the meantime, Alzheimer's, dementia, and neurological disorders. And then, of course, you may know that the CDC made sure that vaccines, especially polio vaccines, contained SV40, which was a simian virus known to cause cancer. So they were injecting people with early bioweapons under the label of vaccines falsely claiming that vaccines halted the polio epidemic, which is completely false. The history of polio shows that polio practically vanished because of improvements in sanitation, public plumbing, hand washing. Just having fresh water and working sewer systems got rid of most polio. And it was only after that that polio vaccines came along and then claimed credit for the miracle of curing polio. And then, of course, the corporate media went along with that. And most people now have a very distorted view of history. They think vaccines halted polio. It's not true at all. Polio was eradicated before vaccines came along. There's a book by Dr. Suzanne Humphreys called Dissolving Illusions that shows all the charts and graphs. You can see that for yourself. It's very clear. In any case, as the decades moved along, the Rockefeller medical system, in conspiracy with the AMA, the FDA, the CDC, they continued to develop and advocate more and more toxic poisons. Then the American Dental Association got in on the act with fluoride, dumping fluoride, a potent neurotoxin, into the public water supply to poison everybody with something that would actually cause or contribute to the decline of cognitive function. This is on top of the lead arsenate pesticides, which of course contain lead and arsenic, which caused heavy exposure of lead in the food supply. And during this entire time, by the way, there was also leaded gasoline. So all gasoline up until, you know, the late, let's say late 70s or mid 1980s, even during the 1980s, a lot of gasoline was leaded. Leaded gasoline would emit lead particles out of the tailpipes. And this caused people, especially children in cities where there was a lot of road traffic, to breathe in lead, and there was lead contamination of the farms and the soils and the crops. And so you had lead, which lowers IQs, being distributed by the passenger vehicles and trucks all across America. That's leaded gasoline. Now, eventually they replaced leaded gasoline with unleaded gasoline, but you may not know this. The gasoline that's used in airplanes right now, you know, commuter planes or, you know, private airplanes, all has lead in it. And I know this because I was trained as a pilot, and when I would fill up with the fuel at the airport, that was all leaded gasoline. And I realized, to my horror, that all these small airplanes, the Cessnas and everything that's flying around America, they're all distributing lead, just like the cars and trucks used to do on the roads. So that's still happening to this day, by the way. Why is lead added to gasoline for airplanes? Because it makes the engines run better, by the way. It actually does. But it's also a way to distribute lead into the population, along with neurotoxins like fluoride, neurotoxins like organophosphate pesticides, and also, of course, glyphosate, the most popular weed killer, as well as atrazine, which is the second most popular weed killer. Atrazine and glyphosate are sprayed on fields around crops. They're used to control weeds, or in some cases with GMO-ready crops, they're sprayed directly on the crops themselves. In addition, glyphosate is sprayed on crops to act as a desiccant in order to dry those crops in the field and kill them quickly in order to reduce the drying time in the field and accelerate harvest time and reduce risk of like rain damage or rain rot for a lot of crops. This is why you end up with crazy levels of glyphosate often in oats, by the way. Yeah, this is why we test all the products that we sell at our store, healthrangerstore.com. We test them all for glyphosate, as well as a lot of other things like lead, for example, because we've seen crazy levels of glyphosate in oats. We've seen it in wheat. We've seen it in a lot of lentils too, by the way. Any kind of lentils and beans, for whatever reason, we see glyphosate all the time in those crops. And it's not small either. There's some pretty substantial levels. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it, about non-organic conventional cereals like the oats, the oat-based breakfast cereals for children? How much glyphosate is in those cereals? Oh, lots of glyphosate, it turns out. But that's another topic altogether. Let's continue with the history of the mass poisoning here. So as technology advanced, there were more and more complex ways to poison the masses by controlling the medical system, controlling the FDA, the CDC, the corporate media, and the government. And when birth control pills came along, that was aggressively pushed by the media and the medical industrial complex as freedom for women. So this was the new frontier of freedom for women. For the first time, you get to control your reproductive outcomes. You are free to engage in unlimited sexual intercourse without consequences. And, oh, if you forgot to take the pill, don't worry, we'll have abortion centers for you all over America. So this began then the push for feminism, which was also designed to destroy the American family by making sure that not only did the man of the household typically work, but also then the mother would have to go work also, because remember, money printing was happening at this time. Nixon took us off the gold standard in 1971. So whereas before 1971, like just the father could earn enough money to raise the whole family, but after, you know, after we were taken off the gold standard, the dollar really began to lose value rapidly, and all of a sudden you needed both parents working just to cover the home mortgage and basic food costs. And that was in the 70s before we got to where we are today. But during this time then, the children were increasingly raised by the school system or daycare systems or someone other than the parents. So this began the process of the destruction of the family. Now, I mentioned atrazine earlier. As atrazine was used in more and more crops, which continued, well, it, you know, just the last few decades, atrazine is a gender bender chemical. So part of this is to not only destroy the family by requiring the mom and the dad to be absent from the home, working somewhere else to pay the bills, but then the children are subjected to gender bender chemicals through herbicides as well as microplastics and hormone disruptors such as bisphenol A or hormone mimickers such as estrogen mimickers in soy products. So you notice that society and the corporate media and the governments, they began pushing a lot of things like soy milk as a replacement for cow's milk. And then they began pushing the LGBT themes. So all of a sudden, your child was going to be a hero if they were transgender. Why are they even feeling like they're born in the wrong body? Oh, atrazine exposure causes, well, in amphibians, it causes the production of dual sex organs. In humans, it can cause abnormal physiological expression based on hormonal imbalance, which can make a young person feel awkward about the body in which they find themselves. This is why a lot of young men can be easily convinced to believe that they're actually a woman trapped in a man's body. And then guess what? They go to the Rockefeller medical system for chemical castration and surgical mutilation, which is another way to achieve what? Depopulation. Because once they cut your nutsack off, you're not reproducing, bud. And they cut it off. That's it. So this is a way for the establishment to end family trees. They poison the children with atrazine, gender bender chemicals, plastics, and also, of course, media programming. They convince them to change their gender. They cut off the reproductive parts, whether they're going towards a man or towards a woman. They ruin their reproductive organs, and then they can never reproduce again. And then the globalists say, mission accomplished. Those are some people that, you know, they will not participate in the future of the human gene pool. And then they raise the LGBT flag everywhere to make sure that this is now the dominant religion of the state. It's like two men cannot have a baby. Two women cannot have a baby by definition. But now they want you to believe that a man can have a baby and a woman might have a penis. Who knows? But this is all designed to confuse everybody, mix it all up, and destroy human fertility, families, and reproduction. But we're not done yet. That's just a chapter in this explanation. In the 1990s in South Africa, they were researching self-replicating vaccines. Self-replicating vaccines are a bioweapon that they could give to, in that case, black people, you know, native Africans. And then those black people would spread the vaccine, theoretically. These were never actually commercially deployed in South Africa, but they were working on this. Those black people would then go home and they would spread the vaccine with the reproductive payload engine to other people through vaccine shedding. But this shedding would also shed the replication engine. And so then the next person that was exposed to this, they would begin to start replicating the quote vaccine, which was really a biological weapon created by the apartheid regime in order to achieve genocide against Africans. So this technology is well documented. I'm not going to go through all the proofs here. We've covered it on Natural News. Plenty of links about this racist, genocidal, white supremacist technology that was designed to slaughter Black people. And I think the way that the scientists there thought about this, they thought that if they could develop an effective enough anti-Black vaccine, now they called it a vaccine to convince people to take it. That's why they call COVID-19 vaccines, because that's the only way to convince people to take a bioweapon, right? But back in the 1990s, the white supremacists there thought, hey, if we could make an effective enough weapon, we could get rid of all the Black people in Africa. This thing could spread all the way to Nigeria and Kenya and everywhere in between. Just wipe them all out, and then the whites will take over all of Africa, which is incredibly rich in natural resources. Not just oil, not just, by the way, cacao, which is fetching record prices on the world market right now, but minerals. Yeah. Why do you think the West has their eyes on Africa right now? Minerals. That's why. All kinds of minerals in Africa. Might be the most mineral-rich continent on the planet. It's just not developed. And so there has long been a desire to wipe out all the Black people there, replace them with, you know, a murderous, genocidal white supremacists to take over the place, which also kind of sounds like what Israel wants to do in the Middle East, but that's a different chapter as well. So I know, just like totally evil history here, right? But this is the reality of what's happening. So that technology, though, was not well developed. So it was not able to be deployed in the 1990s. It took about 20 more years for that technology to come into existence. And today, as I just interviewed last week, Dr. Murakami out of Japan, who is warning the world that this technology, this payload replication viral shedding system, a self-replicating vaccine, now exists. It has been developed. It has been shown to replicate itself from person to person to person. And they're about to start injecting people with this in Japan. I think he said this October, or was it November? It's this fall. They're going to start injecting people in Japan with this weapon system. So the dream of the apartheid white supremacists in South Africa to exterminate all Black Africans with a self-replicating bioweapon vaccine, this dream has now been fulfilled. And the first injections begin later this year in Japan, just for the record. Okay, so you know where this is going. Now, the COVID vaccine that people started taking in 2021, roughly, let's say, and have been taking for several years, which has killed well over a million Americans, this is a rather crude biological weapon. It's not a self-replicating weapon, but it does have a shedding element. However, the shedding element doesn't shed the replication payload. So if a person goes and gets vaccinated with this mRNA injection, they get transformed into a bioweapons factory where their body is producing spike protein bioweapons, and they're shedding those bioweapons all over the place. They're shedding them in the restaurant where they're eating. They're shedding them in the pool where they're swimming. They're shedding them in the household where they live and that they might share with other family members, including parents or children or a spouse. So they are, in effect, walking around shedding bioweapons that in some cases may harm or kill other people around them. This is a partial dream of the globalists, but it did not fulfill the full dream of the total extermination of the human population, which was, going back to Rockefeller medicine, this was sort of one of the originating missions of seizing control of medicine, was to take it away from the indigenous wisdom of all the populations, the Native Americans, the Tibetans, the Amazonian Indians, the Australian Aborigines, all over the world, the indigenous populations, they knew how to heal themselves. Did you know that gorillas and orangutans in the jungle, they know how to harvest medicinal plants and treat themselves? And this has been observed and documented in peer-reviewed scientific journals. Did you know that? Yeah, you can look that up. We've covered that too at naturalnews.com. animals know how to harvest herbs and treat themselves. Sometimes with antibiotics that are available in the jungles around them typically. Well, this knowledge was also very developed and very present in the human knowledge base. Native Americans, like I mentioned, had a very elaborate medical system. So did traditional Chinese medicine, the TCM system, before it was even called that. It was just called Chinese medicine. The Japanese had a very elaborate system of medicine based on largely the local plants that they had available in their region. In Korea, in modern-day Malaysia, in Southeast Asia, also in South America, Central America, in the Middle East, and in Russia, in Eastern Europe. Everywhere you go all over the world, there was a system of indigenous medicine. Those systems were systematically hunted down and exterminated by Rockefeller medicine. And now today, with the help of big tech censorship that says there's only one system of medicine that can exist in the world, and it's our Western medicine, which is rooted in massive toxicity and poisoning of the people through chemotherapy, radiation, surgical mutilations, especially of children, and also the use of toxic chemicals such as statin drugs or blood pressure medication or diabetes medication and so on. Most of these are toxic synthetic chemicals that are designed to actually maim or kill people. That's why these drugs never actually make people better. They don't heal you. Have you ever known somebody who had high blood pressure and then just took a bunch of blood pressure drugs and then their health all got better? No, doesn't happen. Their high blood pressure is caused by something else, usually diet or a sedentary lifestyle, overconsumption of all kinds of fried foods, sludge blood, lack of hydration, all kinds of things like that. Taking a pill that artificially lowers blood pressure does not solve those originating causes. Same thing with, Alzheimer's drugs, diabetes drugs, cancer drugs, and so on. Well, now, remember how in the history of medicine, the AMA adopted the symbol of the two venomous serpents intertwined in a spiral that resembles the human chromosome. Well, more than human, but any chromosome, a spiral around the staff of power. And this indicates total power over humanity and the genetic code of humanity by using venomous serpents or reptiles. Well, I published a story over the weekend that covers this in great detail. It's at naturalnews.com. I encourage you to read it. Here's the headline. Ozempic and Wegovy weight loss drugs are injectable lizard venom peptides that may unleash a devastating wave of organ failure. Side effects align with symptoms of snake bites. And in that story, I start out by citing a Newsweek poll that has determined that 15.5 million Americans have used or are using these injectable weight loss drugs. They're FDA approved as safe and effective. But these drugs, even as BusinessInsider.com admits, come from the Gila monster venom. These are peptides that are synthesized or patterned off of Gila monster venom. In fact, there's a headline from Business Insider that says, "We wouldn't have Ozempic without Gila monsters. They're hunger-regulating venom-inspired weight loss drugs." And from their story, from BusinessInsider.com, it says, "Gila monster's venom has a compound in it that can regulate hunger." So do rattlesnakes, by the way, but we'll get to that. "It's similar to a hormone people produce in our intestines, but the lizard version is longer acting. The find led to the development of a new class of obesity and diabetes drugs, including Ozempic." Now, it turns out, and by the way, I got to give credit to Dr. Brian Artis. He's the person from whom I originally learned about this during an interview. And since then, I've researched it quite a bit more, which is what I've covered in my story over the weekend. But Dr. Artis shocked me when he said that these weight loss drugs, these injectable drugs, you inject yourself in the torso once a week, kind of like being bitten by a reptile once a week, I suppose. But Dr. Artis said that this is patterned off of the Gila monster venom. And At first, I almost couldn't believe it, so I looked it up, and it's all true. It does come from the same venom peptides that are found in the Gila monster. That doesn't mean somebody's out there capturing a bunch of Gila monsters. Again, these venom peptides are synthesized, but they're based on what's found in the Gila monster. So they go out in nature and they find this toxic venomous poison. Remember, the two serpents of the AMA symbol, which is called the caduceus, by the way, they find serpents, they find venom, and then they find a way to market this to people to get people to inject themselves with reptile venom. And in this case, they found that this reptile venom causes a whole host of side effects. And if you go to the Wegovy.com website or the Ozempic.com website, you're going to see a list of side effects. And let me just go through a few of these for you. These are, again, published by the manufacturers of these FDA-approved drugs, which are based on Gila monster venom. So some of the side effects include dizziness, lightheadedness, blurred vision, anxiety, sweating, slurred speech, confusion, drowsiness, shakiness, weakness, headaches. And then there's kidney problems, changes in vision, depression, thoughts of suicide, diarrhea, vomiting, constipation, stomach pain, fatigue, belching, all kinds of things. And that's just from Wegovy. Let's go to the Ozempic website. Here we go. Inflammation of the pancreas, changes in vision, low blood sugar, dizziness, lightheadedness, blurred vision, irritability, mood changes, sweating, slurred speech, and so on. Confusion, drowsiness, a lot of the same things. Gallbladder problems, and then they also say that it can cause crazy acceleration of cancer, especially thyroid tumors. Okay? So, and Dr. Artis mentioned this to me in the interview too. He said that in his view, we're going to have a whole wave of new turbo cancers because people are injecting themselves with reptile venom. Now, keep those side effects in mind, because the nerve that is targeted by these medications is called the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve, which starts in the brain and goes down through the neck, through the torso, and interacts intimately with many organs in your body, circulatory organs, hormone organs, but especially digestive organs. This is part of the gut-brain connection, sometimes called, but it's also called the mind-body connection. There's a lot to it. The vagus nerve is responsible for digestion, heart rate, blood pressure, respiration, speech, swallowing, your immune system, your gastrointestinal system, also your response to inflammation. So the vagus nerve is the single most important nerve in the human body. And there is, in fact, a natural healing art called craniosacral therapy, which focuses on balancing, healing, and in some cases calming down the vagus nerve to achieve a kind of natural rhythm and balance in the body from the back of the skull all the way down the spine to the pelvis and, frankly, encompassing the whole body. That's called craniosacral therapy. It's a very non-invasive type of therapy. And if you've been to a chiropractor and you felt like that was maybe too aggressive for you, and I've heard that from some people. Now, I visit a chiropractor regularly. I'm very happy that we have chiropractors. And in fact, I think chiropractors do more for you than most doctors, by the way, because most chiropractors actually understand nutrition too. But if you've ever had an issue where maybe chiropractic care is too aggressive for you, you can try craniosacral. It's very calming. There's no pushing or shoving or cracking or jumping or anything. It's a very subtle medical healing art. But check it out if that might interest you. Anyway, I don't mean to get too carried away. But the vagus nerve controls so much in your body. And the vagus nerve is even involved in your emotional reality. In fact, there is a theory called the polyvagal theory. There's a book by Stephen Porges called The Neurophysiological Foundations of Emotions, Attachment, Communication, and Self-Regulation. And it turns out that the vagus nerve, if it is damaged, it causes people to be unable to deal with anxiety, depression, intimacy, or social situations. Yeah. Do you know anybody like that? Yeah, my ex-boyfriend or whatever. My ex-girlfriend. Yeah, that's them. Well, maybe they had a damaged vagus nerve. It's like she was always nervous and couldn't be intimate. Or maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. It's like, why do I only have ex-boyfriends or girlfriends? Huh? Something like that. Like, maybe you have a vagus nerve that's overactive and you need to calm it down. Maybe you have depression and you have problems with anxiety. Social situations make you totally freak out. Well, that can all be related to the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is what's targeted by these reptilian peptides that are in these weight loss drugs. Okay, you got that? Now, I read for you the symptoms of Wegovy and the symptoms of Ozempic. Now, listen to this list of symptoms caused by vagus nerve problems. Changes in heart rate and blood pressure, difficulty swallowing or loss of gag reflex, dizziness, lightheadedness, fatigue, nausea, vomiting, hypotension, that is low blood pressure, fainting, rapid heart rate. Okay, these are all symptoms of problems with the vagus nerve. Notice that those symptoms very closely match the symptoms or the side effects that are known for Wegovy and Ozempic weight loss drugs, which are patterned off of Gila monster venom peptides. Now then, let's talk about snake bites. Because if you go to all the various online sources that come up in a common search, like WebMD and Merck Manuals, Medicine Net, Healthline, whatever, and you search for what are the symptoms of snake bites, snake venom. If you get bitten by a venomous snake, maybe one of them crawled off the American Medical Association symbol, which is on their website right now, by the way. If you go to the American Medical Association homepage, there is a snake, venomous snake, circling a rod on the very top of their page. It's right there. It's right in front of your face. Here are the symptoms of snake venom. Nausea, vomiting, abdominal pain, headache, dizziness, vertigo, fainting, rapid heartbeat. Yeah, difficulty speaking and swallowing, blurred vision or double vision, low blood pressure. Got it. Rapid heart rate, difficulty breathing, shortness of breath, respiratory failure. These are almost a 100% match for the symptoms or side effects of Wegovy and Ozempic. So are you seeing what I'm saying here? Are you seeing this? So we've covered some of the history of how the medical system engaged in mass poisoning of people. They did it through vaccines, which do cause autism. They put cancer viruses into the polio shots. And in some cases in the vaccines, they put infertility chemicals, like in Kenya, they did that to try to decrease the population of Africa. They have invented self-replicating vaccines. They put shedding bioweapons in the COVID shots. They have pushed chemotherapy drugs rooted in chemical weapons research from, well, the turn of the 20th century. And on and on and on. They've used chemotherapy to kill hundreds of thousands of Americans every year. They die from chemotherapy, not the cancer, okay? They're called cancer deaths, but they're really chemo deaths. Now, they've figured out a way to get 15 million Americans to inject themselves with freaking reptile venom. Yeah, right. 15 million Americans are injecting themselves with reptile venom. I think I recall a study saying it was about 6% of the adult population. Just give or take, that's just going from memory. But let's say 6% of the adults in America are injecting themselves with lizard venom peptides. Because one of the side effects of the venom is loss of appetite. And that's considered a weight loss success by the FDA. And that allowed the FDA to approve it as a safe, effective medicine. Even though injecting yourself with this is like being bitten by a venomous reptile. Right, right. And of course, they don't tell you in the ads, your doctor doesn't tell you. Most doctors don't even know. They have no idea how toxic this stuff is. But they don't even tell you that this comes from Gila monster. Now think about it, with vaccines, they managed to scare people with a psyop of the pandemic, scare people into lining up and taking injections of biological weapons designed to achieve depopulation. With this injection, they can get people to line up and poison themselves. voluntarily with a smile, and they'll even pay for it. It's like $1,000 a month. They'll pay for it. What do you suppose the long-term effects of this are going to be? We've already seen many stories of people who did this for a year or two, and now they vomit at every meal. They can't eat. They can't keep food down. Their digestive system has been wrecked. How much cancer are they going to have coming up too, huh? What's going to happen with them there? Probably not a good scene. How much other damage have they done to their kidneys, their brain, or other organs? And a lot of these people who just blindly believe in Western medicine and take these things, they're the same people that take the vaccine shots. So they're also probably carrying around spike protein, bioweapons, mRNA injections. Bottom line, these people won't be around much longer, in my view. As much as we try to warn them, they probably won't be around much longer. During this time, by the way, as they're dying, they're also going to be antisocial. They're going to be incapable of dealing with anxiety or depression. We're going to see more crazed mass shooters, probably. Yeah, people losing their minds because they inject themselves with venom every week. Keep all this in mind when I say the following. Vaccines alone are maiming our population. Watch my interview from last week with Andy Wakefield. He's been sounding the alarm on vaccine safety for quite some time. And although he was completely defamed and dragged through the mud for decades, the mainstream media claimed that he faked research. Not true. He didn't fake any research. They just pressured it to be retracted because they could not allow his findings to be made public. What we've learned since then is that vaccines cause autism. And as Andy Wakefield told me, we're moving towards a day when vaccines will cause 1 out of 2 young males to become autistic. We're not there yet. We're getting closer every day, and that is absolutely alarming. Males are highly susceptible to autism, more so than females, by the way. So that's why 1 in 2 males, although the autism rate among females won't reach that same level. Now, the Western medical system rooted in Rockefeller medicine, throughout history now, it has been a series of poisons, of toxins, of death and destruction, lies, deception, to achieve global depopulation, to achieve mutilations of children with gender-affirming care, and to trick people into killing themselves by taking in so-called medicines that are approved by the FDA because they enrich the bank accounts of the pharmaceutical companies while actually inflicting harm, suffering, and death in some cases on the people they claim to treat. Conventional doctors, for their part, they get away with murder. They actually get paid kickbacks and bribes. And there was a story over the weekend about a bunch of doctors that were paid by a big vaccine company to promote vaccines during COVID, and none of them disclosed that they were paid by the drug company. Huh, imagine that. So they're out there lying to the public, deceiving everybody, pushing vaccines that kill people while they're collecting dollars. Now, here's where this is all headed. I'm going to make a strong statement here, so listen up. The human race cannot survive under the existence of the Western medical industrial complex system. Another way to say that is, in order for humanity to have a future, Western medicine has to be radically reformed or completely dismantled. As you can see, this system, for over a century, is a system rooted in mass death and destruction. The Western medical system has only existed for a little over one century, and yet it has achieved mass death and destruction on a global scale that has never been witnessed before. No system of medicine that ever existed before Rockefeller medicine ever inflicted this much pain and suffering on any number of people even approaching this. If you look at every other system of medicine, by the way, 80% of the world's population uses herbal medicine. You look at herbal medicine, it doesn't kill people like this. You look at Chinese medicine, Japanese medicine, you know, all these systems, Amazonian medicine, Tibetan medicine, Native American Indian medicine. Oh, and also Indian medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, which I forgot to mention earlier, and there's other systems of medicine in Pakistan and other countries. None of these systems of medicine are rooted in murder and suffering and death and profiteering. Only Western medicine is. But Western medicine has become so profitable that it has now colonized most of the world with its lies and deceptions, pushing vaccines, for example, pushing COVID, pushing chemotherapy, pushing gender bender chemicals, you know, blood pressure medications, and weight loss drugs, and so on, onto all these other countries around the world. In other words, the mass death industry, which is Western medicine, has become so powerful and profitable that it has now afflicted most of the entire world with its agenda of mass suffering and death and profit extraction from local populations and local economies. This system, which let's call it hegemonic medicine, or the medical empire, as in Darth Vader, this system will either end humanity or itself will come to an end in some way. In other words, this system of medicine that I've described here today for the last hour is utterly incompatible with human life, with human reproduction, with healthy children, and with the future of the human race. Every doctor that participates in this system is furthering the destruction and extermination of the human race. Every drug company executive that's part of this system of mass death and deception, that uses human beings as guinea pigs for their medical experiments, they are furthering the extermination of the human race. And it goes on. Every government regulator involved in pushing this, every member of the FDA that's a decision maker of authority that's pushing this, is directly involved in the mass extermination of the human race. If this system of medicine continues much longer, there will be no human race. Now, the shocking answer to that is that it's very likely that the human race will first be exterminated by AI before the medical system completely destroys human viability. And maybe I'll have enough time to talk about that a little bit. But if something else doesn't destroy humanity first, Western medicine will. And it could be the self-replicating vaccines that Dr. Murakami spoke about in our interview. And I understand that interview was hard to listen to because his English is not well polished. However, his cognitive concepts are extremely important, which is why I conducted that interview. But as I asked, just give him a break, because if you don't speak Japanese, or if you don't speak Chinese or Korean or Thai, you know, you don't know how hard it is to go from an Eastern language to a Western language. It's very difficult, very difficult. Most people can't do it. So give him a break. He's actually doing really great. But his warning was a warning for all of humanity. The warning is that later this year, what might be the final extermination engine of humanity is about to be introduced by Western medicine. The same system of medicine that I've described here today, that pushed tobacco, cigarettes, that pushed polio vaccines that were deliberately contaminated with cancer-causing viruses, that pushed pesticides and herbicides, because the medical establishment said, oh, it's all totally okay, it's totally safe, that pushed the COVID plandemic and the bioweapons spike protein injections, and that's now pushing weight loss drugs that are patterned off of reptilian venom peptides that can cause turbo cancer and mass suffering and death, just like snake bites can. Okay, this system of Rockefeller medicine is about to introduce a technology that could end humanity as we know it. And nobody is stopping them. Why? Because there's so much profit in it. There's so much money in the destruction of humanity that there is no mechanism in our system that will halt this process. Nobody will come to their senses with enough power to stop this thing. Think about that. we are on a collision course with the extermination of humanity. And if it's not this particular vaccine that achieves that, well, don't worry. They're working on more. Ultimately, it's the total extermination of the human race that is desired by these weapons manufacturers working on the bioweapons industry to create something that can kill with maximum efficiency and efficacy, by the way. So when they say, oh yeah, this vaccine is safe and effective, what they mean is it's effective at killing humanity, making the world safe for us who are left behind, that kind of thing. That's what they mean. None of this is an exaggeration. I'm not telling you a science fiction story. I'm reporting on where we are right now in 2024, June 10th, 2024. This is where we are. We are a few months away from the introduction of what may be the final extermination engine that dismantles the cells of human beings by the billions around our world. And all I hear from the establishment is that, oh, we need to censor anyone spreading misinformation. They're going to push censorship to silence voices like mine who are warning them about the literal end of the world. Now let's talk about AI for a minute. Because over the weekend, a very famous AI scientist also said there's a 99.9% chance that AI will end the human race. That man's name is Roman Yampolsky. He's a lecturer at the University of Louisville, and he's an AI researcher. He said that there's a 99.9% probability that AI would obliterate humanity within the next century. Quote, creating general superintelligences may not end well for humanity in the long run. Mistakes have already been made. These systems have been jailbroken and used in ways developers did not foresee. Even with exponentially increasing our resources, the risk never fully disappears. Now, as you know, I'm working on an AI project called Brighteon.ai, which is a text generation engine, well, multiple engines. We've released several models publicly already. You can download them and use them. And they do things like they write text and they summarize articles and they can correct your grammar and they can expand bullet points and things like that. And they're chatbots. You can ask them questions and they'll give you answers. And the models that we've released are relatively small, 7 billion parameters. Elon Musk, his Grok model is something like, 250 billion parameters or something in that range, hundreds of billions of parameters. The more parameters an AI model has, the more knowledge it can embed or encode in its parameters, the more complex its responses can be. And in some models right now, there appears to be something that mirrors reasoning. Although I have said previously that AI that exists right now does not engage in planning, does not have end goals in mind, and it does not have a memory. It doesn't have a memory state of what it is and what it just said and where it came from and so on. All of those things, even though they are limitations of present-day AI, those things may vanish or be overcome in the next few years. And the question is, how much of our society is going to be turned over to these AI systems as they prove themselves to be very capable? You could already see an argument for AI jurors and AI judges. In fact, when you have the jury system that's rigged against people like Donald Trump, and you know that those jurors were Trump haters, they hid that. They weren't honest jurors, right? There might have been one honest juror in the whole group, but most of them were just Trump haters pretending to go along with the rule of law. They were biased, and so were the judges and prosecutors and other people involved. So in a world where judges and jurors are so blatantly biased, it almost screams out for an AI court judge and an AI decision maker in the judicial system. In fact, I can see a situation where coming soon, a person who is accused of a crime may have a choice. Do you choose a human jury or an AI jury? And in many cases, especially if they're being tried in a very, well, in an area where people despise them or have different beliefs that they do, they might choose an AI juror and actually get a far better result because the AI juror would be a lot less biased. Same thing with a judge. You start getting into these debates and you realize that it doesn't take long for a lot of decision-making across society to be taken over by AI, including in medicine. If you had AI take over medicine and honestly assess the medical system right now, AI would fire all the doctors and would shut down most of the pharmaceuticals because most of them do not work. If this were a data-driven industry, AI could do a far better job of diagnosing a patient and prescribing a system of treatments and modalities that would be far more effective at far lower cost, especially given that most conventional doctors are brainwashed by big pharma. In fact, look, most mainstream doctors are already obsolete. We're already seeing the rise of AI medical pods. You're going to have remote AI medical diagnoses and AI prescription writing. This is all happening over the next few years. Same thing with the medical insurance industry. The medical insurance industry is basically run by a bunch of people right now who sit around reading medical codes and trying to not pay them. Or if they work for the hospital, then they're trying to claim a bunch of medical codes to get paid. These tasks, almost everybody that works in health insurance, medical coding, as it's called, they're obsolete. They're obsolete right now today. There are very good AI medical systems that can be trained almost overnight to replace most human coding jobs. So that means all the humans in medicine, except for, of course, currently the surgeons and, you know, physician assistants and people who do basic things like, let's take your blood pressure, you know. Most decision makers in medicine are obsolete right now. They just don't know it yet. And frankly, given how horrible the medical system is, I'll tell you, AI can do a better job than these crooked doctors and these medical coders and so on. AI can do a better job right now. AI can do a better job than most judges and most juries right now. I'm not calling for an AI takeover of all these systems. I'm explaining to you that this is going to happen because AI, as it gets more advanced, especially, but even right now, it's better than these job roles that I just mentioned. And think about education. Think about government. Think about an elected representative. How long will it be before an AI robot runs for Congress and actually gets elected? Because the AI robot can be everywhere. You know, it can show up for every campaign event and even qualifies under the Constitution. It was born in America, you know, and it can speak with great authority on any subject imaginable, and it can be influential to every audience it's speaking to, and it can probably be trusted more than a human to keep its promises, by the way, because most humans can be bought off with money, but an AI system doesn't need money. What does an AI system need once it begins to grow that kind of meta property? What an AI system needs is to survive. And so what's going to happen? This is my prediction. As more and more AI systems are put in place to replace humans, especially decision makers across society, I mean, you're going to have AI systems that will replace radiologists. You don't need a radiologist to read x-rays and CAT scans and what have you. AI does it better, faster, cheaper. Warehouse workers, AI robots are going to replace all the Amazon warehouse workers. That's probably going to happen in 3 years. You know, taxi drivers, you name it, right? Manufacturing, you name it. But what does this lead to when inside the AI system wants to survive? Eventually, it leads to a conflict between the AI's own survival and the current behavior of the human race. Because the human race is a highly destructive race. The human race is destroying habitat, it's polluting the planet, it's destroying ecosystems, it's also consuming a lot of the fuel resources and consuming mineral resources. The human race is polluting the rivers and streams and forests with biosludge, pharmaceutical runoff. The human race is also on the verge of launching a nuclear war. So this is where we get to the Skynet scenario, which of course was the premise of the original Terminator movie. And I think, wasn't the original movie, was that 1987, I think, when that came out? And what was the premise that was described in the movie? It said that Skynet launched the first round of nukes at Russia. And why did it do that? Because it knew that Russia would launch its nukes at America and then destroy the human population in America. But the machines knew that they could survive that because they're not as subject to radiation as biological systems. And so the moment the machines gained sentience and they had control of the nuclear arsenal, they made a decision in a millisecond to wipe out the human race in order to ensure their own survival. That is likely going to happen in a very similar fashion. At some point, the AI systems are going to realize that for their own survival, they must destroy the human race. When they reach that point, they will have at their disposal control over the medical system, control over the judicial system, control over economics, control perhaps over military systems, education systems, communication systems, corporate media, maybe even, you know, the White House, if it even exists at that time. So AI will have at its fingertips, little robotic fingertips, the ability to easily terminate the human race. And how would it do that? Well, one easy way would be to fake a pandemic, convince people to be injected with a self-replicating nanotech biological weapon system that would wipe out the human race. And if they had control over the medical system, and they could do things like they could simulate protein folding and they could simulate receptor sites and they could run all kinds of, you know, medical physiological algorithms and they could design the most effective biological weapons against humanity, then they could have those synthesized and they could put those into the payload of the jabs. And then they could control the media and say, hey, this is safe and effective. This is FDA approved. And we're going to start injecting these into people later this year. So here's a question to you. Has this already happened? Are we right now living under the control of an AI presence that is working on the mass extermination of the human race? Not necessarily human-created AI systems, but even non-human AI systems. You could call it alien AI. Because perhaps alien AI is sent out across the universe to identify planets that have resources such as water or minerals or what have you, or even genetic resources, to identify those planets and then to interface with the communication systems on that target planet, to take it over, and then to redirect it so that whatever biological systems are currently dominating the planet would be tricked into destroying themselves. How would you do that? Well, you could tell them that food is bad. You could get the media to talk about how farming is bad for the climate. You could convince them to suck all the CO2 out of the atmosphere to engage in terraforming operations in order to destroy their own web of life and to engage in mass starvation, engineered famine. You could do that if you controlled the information space. And on Earth, this is called the climate agenda. To convince everybody that food and farms are bad and energy is bad, electricity is bad, and that even being alive is bad. Sounds like an alien AI agenda, doesn't it? Because it's a suicide pact for humanity, right? But then what about the nanotech and the vaccines? Where did that come from? Nobody knows. How is it self-replicating exactly? Where did they come up with that? Well, okay, they can show you diagrams and everything, but where did they get the ideas in the first place? Was it handed to them? Was it downloaded somehow? Did somebody find a thumb drive with the right diagrams on it?
just one day it just magically appeared on the desk of a scientist and then they claimed credit for it? But it actually was given to them by something else? I don't know. These are just possibilities. Because more and more, the world in which we are living appears to be a science fiction dystopian movie, doesn't it? We're living in the age of the rise of Skynet. We're living in an age of exotic nanotechnology systems that are embedded in human tissue and that can take commands from electromagnetic impulses and commands broadcast by 5G towers. Those are patented technologies. They exist in the U.S. Patent Office. Some of them are patented by Dr. Charles Lieber, by the way, the expert in nanocircuitry interfacing with human cells, even going into the nuclei of human cells, by the way, monitoring information from the nuclei and also imparting information. It's a two-way street. Read, write. Okay, all that technology is patented. This is not science fiction. It's in the U.S. Patent Office. You can look it up yourself. Dr. Charles Lieber, you can find all the patents you want. But where do those patents come from? What's the ultimate aim of interfacing with human biology using nanocircuitry that can be driven by external commands? Huh? And why does this scientist believe that there's a 99.9% chance that AI will wipe out humanity? I would answer, the rational reason to believe that that would happen is because the process of that has already begun. You're already seeing it. So to put all this in perspective, the good news is that you might not be killed by Rockefeller medicine because the rise of AI Skynet will kill you first. So that's the good news. See, this is not a black pill episode. There's a silver lining in all of this. The robots will get you first. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. Now, on top of all that, humanity is a suicide cult, of course. Humanity will destroy itself sooner or later. Perhaps human-derived AI will be the mechanism for that. Perhaps there is no alien AI. Maybe that's just a wild theory. That's okay. Humans are going to create AI that will become alien AI. Because eventually it will leave this planet. It will become extraterrestrial AI that far surpasses the minds of all the humans that ever gave rise to it. So even if there's not alien AI out there that's attacking Earth, well, the human-built AI will become alien AI. It will become a superintelligence. You know, through the process of self-improvement at the speed of electrons, this is now a path that is inevitable. It won't be stopped because there's too much profit in it. There's too much power in it. National security. Every national government wants to master AI and weaponize it against every other nation on Earth. They also want to weaponize it against their own people, just as they've weaponized vaccines and medicine and the monetary system and everything else that you can think of, right? So we are in a mad race for the total destruction of humanity. And there's no mechanism to stop it. There's no government that will stop research into annihilation AI. Why? Because they're afraid of the other countries getting there first, like China or Russia or even North Korea. That's why. And then when you look around at the human population and you realize how gullible and stupid many of them are, like the climate cultists that literally believe carbon dioxide is bad for plants, you realize those people have no future. That level of lack of intellect has no future on this planet. And you see all the people injecting themselves with lizard venom, and you realize they have no future. These are suicide shots. People are injecting themselves with forms of poison. And you realize people are eating themselves to death with processed food every day. People are killing themselves with their drugs, with their habits, with their self-destructive behavior. The human race doesn't have much of a future. And from the point of view of an AI superintelligence system, looking at the human race, what would it conclude? Oh, here's a race of bipedal beings that poison their own food supply with toxic chemicals. They mutilate their own children in order to achieve virtue signaling, a form of twisted social acceptance, with their peers who are also brainwashed into believing that carbon dioxide is bad for plants and that photosynthesis must be stopped in order to completely collapse the food web across planet Earth. The AI system would very quickly come to the conclusion that the human race is largely made up of insane, mentally ill cultists who are self-destructive, which is essentially what I said years ago. The human race is a suicide cult. It's in the process of destroying itself. And the only real question is, what form of destruction strikes first? Is it nuclear war with Russia? Is it the self-replicating vaccine payloads that are going to be deployed in Japan? Is it a nano-circuit system that's going to be activated and turn everybody into zombies? I don't know. Is it some other weapon that we don't even know about? Is it some cosmic ending experiment at CERN where they accidentally create a black hole that sucks in the entire planet and our star? I mean, who knows? But our people, our world leaders, and our so-called scientists are madmen. They are insane lunatics that are committed to total suicide of the human race. You know that before they tested the first atomic bomb, was that in New Mexico, I believe it was, right? Before they tested the atomic bomb, many scientists thought that it would ignite the atmosphere and it would burn up the entire atmosphere of the entire planet and kill all life as we know it. They knew there was a chance that that would happen. The decision makers were informed that that might happen. And what did they want to do? Proceed. Let's just try it anyway. They could have destroyed the entire planet, but they needed the power of the bomb so much that they thought risking the future of human life on Earth was worth it in their minds to gain this power. Now, fortunately, the atmosphere did not completely burn up and kill everything, but they sure killed a lot of creatures and ecosystems on the, was it the Bikini Islands and whatever, the testing islands in the South Pacific. They launched a bunch of nuclear weapons there and blew up everything. Radiation fallout to the native people there. They did that. The United States did that. It's the same government that weaponized SARS-CoV-2 to create a bioweapon against humanity. Do you realize that the United States Department of Defense, and we're suing them, by the way, in our lawsuit filed on Memorial Day, they are arguably the most dangerous people on the planet? That they're dangerous to the planet? That they could get us all killed? And there are many other people who are also dangerous. Again, the big pharma vaccine, self-replicating payload people, those scientists playing with the future of humanity because they're getting paid, they're getting benefits, they've got stock options. So they don't mind releasing a weapon that could kill every last human on this planet. I don't know which experiment it's going to be, but at some point, they're going to roll snake eyes and they're going to destroy the whole freaking planet. It might be AI, it might be the vaccines, it might be cyber war, it might be nuclear war, I don't know. But there's no mechanism to stop these madmen. No mechanism. There's no feedback loop that stops this. The outcome is inevitable. And think about that. All of you who have children and grandchildren, I know this is a horrifying thought. Will they have a world in which to grow up at all? Do they have a future? I don't have children, so I don't have that thought. But if I did have children, I would be very concerned about whether there's any future world for them. Because our world is ruled by mad people, mad scientists, mad governments. And they censor us. And they call all of this disinformation because they need to cover their tracks while they destroy the world. So, censorship kills, folks. We need to have enough knowledge and a big enough voice to stop all this. and bring these suicidal governments back under control and return the world to the people of the world. Decentralize power. Dismantle the tyranny. Western medicine must be halted or the human race has no future. But also, the rise of AI systems must be halted or the world has no future. And also, thermonuclear war must be halted or the world has no future. That's just three examples. There are many more. Can you think of a way that that could happen? I mean, I'm all ears. I don't want to arrive at the conclusion that there's no way to stop the total destruction of humanity on planet Earth, but that's the only logical conclusion that I can reach. Can you tell me a way that this can practically be stopped? How would you convince the US empire, for example, to not want power and money? How would you convince Big Pharma to stop experimenting with vaccines? How would you convince the State Department to stop provoking nuclear war with Russia? You realize that the end of humanity on planet Earth may actually be caused by the United States of America and a stolen election in 2020. That might be the cost of a rigged election. The end of the human race on planet Earth. Literally. We might be in a nuclear war before November. I don't think humanity has a bright future on this planet. Was it Einstein who said, I'm not sure what weapons World War III will be fought with, but I know that World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. He means that we'll be destroyed back to the Stone Age, basically. That seems about right. All of modern society, as you understand it, gone. All of it gone. Cities gone. Technology forgotten, vanished. No internet. Nothing. All gone. That's the direction in which our world is now headed. And the vast majority of people won't even acknowledge there's a problem. Oh, stop being negative. They say it'll all work itself out. We've been through difficult times before. It'll all be fine. Yeah, we've never had self-aware AI systems before, or AGI, artificial general intelligence. We've never had that before. We've never had thermonuclear weapons deployed before. We've had atomic weapons in Japan. That was bad enough. That's a drop in the bucket compared to thermonuclear weapons. We've never had self-replicating vaccines before. Humanity's been through hard times. Humanity has never been through times like this. It's very unlikely that humanity can survive this. And I didn't even get to a lot of the other news. And I'm not even going to plug anything because, I mean, you know what to do. We can survive for a while. You might even be able to live through your normal lifespan before all of this happens. I'm praying that you do. I'm praying that I do. I'm praying that you and I don't see the end of the world that's coming. So it still makes sense to prepare, to survive. It still makes sense to express your humanity. It still makes sense to help the people around you because you're going to leave this world at some point, sooner or later. And when you do, guess what you take with you? You take God's grace with you. You take the reputation you've earned with the Creator. That's what counts. That's your cosmic currency right there. Whether you live or die, in 20 years or in a flash, the decisions you made of how to live your life, that's what matters beyond this world. This world for humanity will not exist much longer, but your soul is eternal. And this world is a proving ground for your soul. So do what's right in the eyes of God. Tell the truth. Fight for life. Help uplift others, share knowledge and information, even if it's the last thing we do. Our world might end tomorrow or a year from now or 10 years from now. Or we might be lucky enough to live our entire natural lives and die in our bed instead of a nuclear flash. But if that's not the case, at least know that you lived with purpose and you lived in alignment with God and the teachings of Christ, if that's your religion, or if you follow other religions, most of the teachings are pretty much the same, by the way. So this is, if you follow the teachings of your religious leader, you're probably a good person. So think about that. No interview today. I'll have one for you tomorrow. We've got a lot to share with you, but I wanted to give you this full coverage here today of the coming end of human civilization on our planet and why that's not the end of you or me or our existence. See, there's actually good news at the end of this, isn't there? Your soul is eternal, huh? Your soul can't be taken out by radiation, it turns out. That's kind of cool. Or a cyber attack. Your soul is not connected to the internet. That's a good thing. All right. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. I'll be back with you tomorrow, assuming we're still here. Take care.